Thank you, Brother Chris. Thank you for coming today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Revelation, the last book, chapter 16. Revelation, chapter 16. I want to thank you again. Thank you, church family and different individuals and different Sunday school classes for the memorial cards and prayers and letters and everything else in my mother's passing a couple of weeks ago. So I appreciate that again very, very much. Revelation chapter 16. I'm going to ask you, if you're able to stand as we read one verse. Revelation 16, verse 16. It says, "For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. For it is their just due." Father, bless your word. In Christ's holy name, amen. Please be seated. I want to mention, too, our prayer room in the back. So feel free to, during, before, after, every Sunday, please be a part of that as the Lord leads. Today I want to talk about, in Revelation 16, we know there's a golden rule. Jesus spoke of it. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, the golden rule, "Do unto others as you would have them to do unto you." Well, in Revelation chapter 16, there is another type of golden rule, and it is a principle that God has put into place ever since the foundation of the world, that whatever we reap, whatever we sow, that's what we're going to reap. However we live, it's going to show up one day. It's going to come. All of these atrocities in this world committed by people, they're going to get their just due one day. The Bible says that real clear. Look at with me verse 1 again. Verse 1 says, "Then I heard," of chapter 16, "a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, 'Go and pour out the bowls of wrath of God and on the earth.' So the first went and poured his bowl upon the earth, and a foul and loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast." During the great tribulation period now, this is, men are going to have the mark of the beast on their forehead or on their hand. And so, loathsome, foul, sickening sores comes upon these men or women, whomever, who worship the beast and his image. Verse 3 says, "Then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became blood as of a dead man," just like a dead person. "And every living creature in the sea died." Every one of them. Before, a third of the creatures died. Now, here at the culmination, at the end of the great tribulation period, every living creature is going to perish, is going to die. You can imagine what that's going to be like on the news and everywhere else. Verse 4 says, "Then the third angel poured out his bowl upon the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, 'You are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and was and who is to be, because you have judged these things. For they have shed the blood of saints,'" and here's our key verse again, "'and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, for it is their just due.'" Look down at verse 9 again. This is another bowl that's poured out, another calamity that's going to happen. The men, verse 9, "were scorched with great heat. God sent, even though the sun and moon and stars was dimmed a third earlier, now he's going to use that same sun to scorch men with heat." It says in verse 9, "and they blasphemed the name of God who has power over these plagues, and they did not repent and give him glory." And look at verse 11, another calamity comes. God sends another destitute situation. Verse 11, they blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pains and sores and did not repent of their deeds. And then in verse 12, it talks about the Euphrates drying up and unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of a dragon, which is Satan, and the mouth of the beast, which is Antichrist, out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons performing, in verse 14, signs which go out to the kings of the earth, of the whole world, to gather them for battle of that great day of God. And verse 16 says, and they gathered them together. So all of this is culminating so God can get all these people that are against him. They're going to gather together. Verse 16 says, to the place called in Hebrew, Armageddon. And then we see another bowl, another calamity, another judgment upon this earth. Right at the end of the great tribulation period in verse 21. And a great hail fell from heaven upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent. And it's according on what talent exactly we're being referred to. It's either a Greek or a Babylonian or a Roman. I'm not sure. But one of them is 50 pounds, another one is 60 pounds, another one is 70 pounds. And so it's going to be enormous. Each hailstone, it says, the weight of a talent is going to fall upon men. Men are going to blaspheme God right at the end. Even though God is pouring his wrath out because they have the mark of the beast, they're going to blaspheme God and say, we hate you, and they're going to curse him and all the other things that they say, men and women say even today, to blaspheme God because of the hail and the plagues. It says in verse 21, were exceedingly great. So verse 16 is where we're going this morning. And I want us to look at the golden rule, the principle that God has put in place since the foundation of this world, that whatever we sow, people think they're getting away with it, but they're not going to get away with it. Whatever we sow, we're going to reap. For they, verse 6 is our key verse there in chapter 16 of Revelation, have shed the blood, and thou hast given them blood to drink. You know, we ought to be grateful. We ought to be grateful people. And I think for the most part, we are, but our world is not. But when men and women and boys and girls bypass God and choose to go their own direction, they essentially are heaping upon themselves. They're building walls for themselves, eternal judgment and persecution that's going to come to them, and justice of God that's going to come. This eternal law of judgment ordained by God is basically an eye for an eye. It's what you get. If you're going to do this, this is what you're going to get. And a tooth for a tooth. And so I believe it's what Jesus was referring to when he says, the measure you give will be the measure you will receive, is what the Lord Jesus says. It's what you're going to get. So within this text, there's a very vivid illustration. And it's awful, though. It's horrendous of what God thinks about people who avoid him, who don't believe in him, who refuse to surrender to him. And he says that you have shed the blood of his servants and the prophets, and so you're going to receive your just due. So let me give you real quickly, a few truths today. Here's the verse again. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. For this is their just due. Number one, I want you to see the eternal law's lessons. There are prior lessons. We know that in life, God has given us lessons. And even in our own family sometimes, if we look at some people in our family and say, I don't need to go there because he went through this, because he did that. And if we would just learn those prior lessons, we wouldn't have to go through those. But oftentimes, you and I know as teenagers, we don't want to know about someone else's lessons, do we? We want to learn them on our own, which can be a bad situation, which can be worse than our parents learned them or whatever. But I want you to know about the eternal law of judgments, prior lessons. Do you remember how Egypt were made, in Egypt, the children of Israel were made slaves for 400 years. They were in slavery. And the Bible says that they were worked, that Pharaoh worked them rigorously, making bricks and straw and all of this other stuff to build things for them. And so they did that for 400 years. And God sent Moses, told Pharaoh to let his people go. And Pharaoh hardened his heart. And so God sent plagues upon Pharaoh. And Pharaoh still didn't listen with all the plagues until the last plague. And the last plague took his firstborn son. And it took all of his servants' firstborn sons and all of the people of Egypt's firstborn sons and all of the animals of Egypt's firstborn animals. And when that happened, when Pharaoh's firstborn died, he said hesitantly, "Go. I can't take it anymore. Take all of these 3 million, somewhere around there, people out of here." And he let the children of Israel, he let them go. It took the 10 plagues. If you remember the nation of Israel, not just Egypt, but the nation of Israel, they didn't want God as their king. They wanted Saul and they wanted Ahab and all these other kings that shouldn't have been kings of Israel. And many of these evil kings killed God's prophets, as we read in the verse. And God sent revenge upon them. God sent the nation of Israel into slavery, into bondage. They were carried away into captivity because of their sin. They received their just due. Assyria is another example. About 100 years after Jonah preached in Nineveh, Assyria, Nineveh, the capital of Assyria, they'd turned evil again. They had turned pagan again. And so God sent great judgment and destruction. And so around 606 B.C., Nineveh was utterly destroyed because they didn't learn their prior lesson. They didn't learn from Egypt. They didn't learn from their family. They didn't learn these lessons. Greece, the same thing. Jerusalem, the same thing. They fell. Rome and Spain, one of the greatest European powers of all, of Europe. Doom came upon her because she didn't listen to God. She didn't learn her prior lessons. This eternal law of judgment lives on even in our own life. And Bible says that not one jot or one tittle is going to, transpire. God's judgment is going to be carried out, in other words. He's not going to let one sin slip through or up under the door or slip out of the way. The Bible and the facts of life supply us thousands of previous lessons that those who choose to make their own rules, those who choose to live their own life the way they want to live it and refuse to follow the mandates and the precepts that are in God's holy word, those that choose to do that will one day face God's wrath and God's judgment. And whatever they receive is what they deserve. Every man's sin, the Bible says, will eventually find them out. Amen? Our sin is going to do that. The Bible says that. Let me give you number two. This eternal law is plan of action. I want you to see what happens here. It is one of the most, it's self-enacting. It's atrocious in a way, but it's just. For those who are going through it, it's going to seem atrocious. But God put these laws in place before the foundation of the world, and He has planned for them to transpire, and they're going to. There is no need for God to interfere or to recalibrate these laws. Sometimes we make adjustments in church, or we make adjustments in our home or in a business. When we set out, even at school, sometimes we'll say, here's what we're going to do, and we'll recalibrate. But this law is in place. It's going to happen. Whatever we sow, we are going to reap, the Bible clearly states. We're going to be prosecuted by what we do. And you say, what about the man who murdered his wife and got away with it? Well, what about the lawyers and the politicians and the judges responsible for millions of babies being born, aborted? Well, what about the woman who killed her children and got off on a plea of insanity? Or what about, you know of a scenario of someone who didn't receive justice, but they should have received justice, and they didn't receive justice down here on the earth? In all of these scenarios, in any scenario you can come up with, the harvest of God's wrath is going to fall upon them, because we are living in the days foretold by Paul in his letter to Timothy. And here's what he says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. He says, for the time will come when men will not endure, sound doctrine. I may have that on your screen. There it is. For the time will come where men will not endure sound doctrine, but will want to have their ears tickled. They will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside to myths. Dear friend, we're in this day, and we've been in this day ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, but it's getting more and more prevalent for people not to want to hear what God says. They want to hear what so-and-so says, so-and-so that can tickle their ears, so-and-so that can meet their desires. And we know that's breaking, actually, the second commandment. They're forming their own little image of God. I want a God that doesn't tell me that this is wrong. That's what many people are saying. I want a God that doesn't tell me what I can't do. I want a God that will just, I can set aside on Sunday and do my thing on Sunday, but the rest of the week I can set Him aside, and I can live in accordance to my own desires, and I can make my own rules. Whatever is relative for me is relative, should be relative for everybody else. And so that's what this world desires. But you and I know that's not biblical. And so Paul's letter to Timothy speaks of this very thing. May God help us. Many men may deny the existence of God, but they're not going to escape the laws of God. Let me give you number three. The eternal law's instructions for us, to us, to all of us. God has made a way and given us a roadmap, and He's given us a plan for your life. God, now sometimes we get off track a little bit, and God, either He rebukes us, those of us that are saved, or whichever way God does it. It works a little bit different probably for each one of us, because we're all a little bit different. But God has an eternal plan for you and I, and structure for you and I to live this life. And He has made that for us. And obviously it includes this book. If we try to follow another book, a book written by man, a book written by anyone else, then we're probably not going to follow what God is saying. And so He's given us these instructions. This is our instruction manual. You know that. I'm preaching to the choir. Let me give you a few verses that God tells us about instructions. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that he reapeth." 2 Corinthians 11:13 says, "For such men in this world are false prophets, false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light." Titus 1 says in verse 15, "To the pure, all things are pure, but to the defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure to them, but both their minds and their consciences are defiled. They profess to know God, but they deny Him by their works. They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good works." And we know that there are so many, even in our own family, that profess to know God, but their works prove otherwise. Their works are not of God. Now, we're not obviously judges, but we are fruit inspectors. And so we can tell when there's fruit, rotten fruit on the tree or no fruit. And so that's what Titus 1:15 says. 1 Timothy 4 says, verse 1, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons." 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." And then he says, I love what he says here, "And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." We're not perfect, and we used to be those things, but praise God, He's changed us, He saved us. We're not who we used to be. Now we're washed with the blood of Jesus. And so that's why we're different. We're not different because we're somebody special. No, we're different because Christ saved us. And that's why it's very important for you to understand, and you and I to remember this eternal law that's in Revelation 16:6. Because you and I have family and friends that need to hear, if you don't get off track, if you don't get back on track, if you don't stop going down this dead-end road, that's where it's going to end. That's how it's going to end. I think I've shared it with you. I don't know if I have for sure, but I think I have. But if I have, excuse me for repeating, a friend of mine in one of the churches in Mississippi had a son that would not quit sniffing gas. He wouldn't quit sniffing gas. He was a preteen boy. And he just, I guess he got around the wrong crowd and he began to sniff gas. And so they tried a little bit of everything to get him to quit sniffing gasoline. I guess he just, for whatever reason, wouldn't do it. He said, "Daddy, I'll quit." But he wouldn't quit. And so one day the dad just kind of got fed up with his son sniffing gas and said, he went into his room and said, "Son, if you want to keep sniffing gas, you keep sniffing gas, because I know that I will be able to find you in one of two locations if you keep doing it. I'll be able to find you in the graveyard, because it's going to either kill you, or I'll either find you in the jail or in the prison system, because you're going to end up there if you don't. You're going to end up one of those two places." So he said, "Son, keep doing it, because I'll know where to find you. I won't have to go looking for you, wondering what you're doing. I can just go to the gravesite, or I can go to the penitentiary. Go, keep on doing it." And guess what? The boy began to think about it, and he quit. So sometimes we have to lay the law down. We do have to lay the hammer down, obviously, especially when they get older and they don't want to listen. They get rebellious and they get angry. Because you and I know if we wait too long, they may be gone. They may have become reprobates. They just hate God, hate things of God, and they become fools. And as we talked about in Wednesday night, there is a verse in the Bible that says, I think it's Proverbs 16:4, that if you argue with a fool and a bystander is watching, then the bystander can't tell which one the fool is. So we have to be careful, don't we? When they get a certain age, you have to be careful. Anyway, let's pray. Father, we love you. Lord, thank you for salvation that comes through Jesus. Father, thank you that we can rejoice and know that you are going to take us out of the great tribulation before it ever happens. Lord, you're going to rapture those who love you and care about you and serve you and that worship you. You're going to rapture us out, Lord. You're going to protect us from all the calamity, all the atrocities and plagues and evil the wrath that's going to be poured down on this earth, Father. And so, Lord, we thank you that you have allowed us to be able to miss that great day that you're going to send all your wrath for 7 years. Lord, we know that we don't deserve it. And Lord, we are in our own life. We are probably many of us or some of us are really going through a lot of difficulty, deaths and disparaging and finances and all of those things down here on this earth, Lord, because as we know, this is the only hell we're going to have to go through, those of us that love you, Lord. But for those who don't love you and don't trust you, this is the only heaven, Father, we know that they're going to have. And so, Father, we ask in this room if there's some that are struggling with this salvation, Lord, that they would just surrender to you. They'd just trust you. And by faith, they would believe that Jesus is the only the way, and the truth and the life. And Lord, for those who have gotten off track, I pray that they'll repent right where they are, right in their seat, and they would just ask you to forgive them, and they would just commit themselves to you. And Lord, if someone needs to follow through in believer's baptism or just needs to come to the altar and pray, or whatever it may be, Lord, be a part of this fellowship here. May you have your way in our remaining moments. In Christ's holy name, amen.